Time now for the Wealth Feature, brought to you by Old Mutual Wealth, and to see how the new former finance minister is attacking the wealthy from a tax perspective. And I've got Johan Jacobs, Director of Trusts and Estates at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr on the line. Johan, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Now, when we look at the range of revenue collection measures, it probably could have been a little bit worse. We didn't see an increase in the upper income tax rate, but we did see an increase in capital gains. How is that going to impact us?
That was a shocker, to put it euphemistically. In essence, the inclusion rates have been increased now for a second time. Capital gains tax came into effect 1 October 2001, and for 10 years there was no increase in the inclusion rate. And in 2012 it was increased, and now 4 years later it's increased again. And that is a bit of an anathema in respect of the fact that our capital gains tax is not index stated against for inflation, and the idea of the low inclusion rate, which was put forward when this tax was introduced, would over time counter inflation. So effectively, if a person makes a gain, the amount of gain that is subject to tax is now increased dramatically. In the case of trusts, it's up to 80% of that gain, and then subject to the tax rate of a trust, which is 41%, it leads to an effective rate of 32.8% of every gain made.
Wow.
So that's quite a figure.
That is quite a figure, and I see it's also going to mean the rate for individuals. So if I'm selling my shares, for example, that's gone up from 13.7 to 16.4%.
Indeed, yes. The literature often, well, the comments refer to a percentage increase of the effective rate as giving an indication of the percentage increase, but one actually has to express it as a percentage based on the current percentage, and then you see it. It's also quite a sizable jump.
It is. I mean, to me, it stands out as the single biggest tax hike in the budget, having glanced through the document. And the minister also indicated that the transfer duty rate on property sales above 10 million is going to be increased from 11% to 13%. So that's going to apply from property after March 1st this year.
That's right.
I suppose those property prices under 10 million, and let's face it, that's where the bulk of the property transactions happen, can be quite thankful that there was no increase there.
Indeed, especially on the back of the previous increase for the high end at 11% already was quite a draconian rate. But it's interesting to see when they project on numbers that that can raise quite a substantial amount of money. If I could step back just to the capital gains, so one of the concerns is to what extent this is going to counter a spirit of saving,
you know,
it's a bit of a negative consequence, which one doesn't want to happen in our society.
Well, certainly in South Africa, with our record low savings rate, if we want to grow at 5%, we need that savings pool to fuel investment, and we can't continue to rely on foreign capital for that. We really need to build up our own savings pool. So that was a big cross, I think, in that box in terms of creating the environment for savings in South Africa. I also didn't see too much about raising the limits on the tax-free savings accounts. I don't know if you've seen anything in that in the budget.
Still at 30 and 500,000 in a lifetime. In fact, even that was targeted in the sense that to the extent that people use an insurance or a life product and nominate a beneficiary and then therefore escape estate duty, they wish to tighten up that provision too. But that's only fair that, you know, people should be treated equally.
When one looks at estate duty, I know the Davis Tax Committee has already released its draft paper on estate duties, and it's yet to have a final paper. Did you see anything in this budget that gives us an indication as to where we're going with estate duties?
No, just reiterating the idea that there must be a tightening up. So losses through donations tax and estate duty must be minimized by ensuring that the application thereof is tightened. I think, you know, that the Davis Committee, everything's in a bit of flux because there was a bit of backtracking with regard to the interspousal rebate and the question of the actual primary abatement, you know. So I think that's all in a sort of wait and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, and just to remind listeners, the Davis Tax Committee did recommend that a estate duty, which is payable on the estate of every person who dies and whose net estate is in excess of $3.5 million, should remain unchanged at the rate of 20%. So interesting to see what happens there. Overall, Johan, what did you make of the budget from a wealth perspective?
From a wealth perspective, I think there's certainly a focusing on to bring, for a progressive tax regime to equalize and to get funds from those sources. Discouragement, once again, of trusts, the application of the inclusion rate at 80% and at 41% is certainly discouraging, and only people who truly use a trust for the core reasons one should have it and not to try and save duties will certainly, shy away from those. Silent on donations tax estate duty, because that, as you said, is still a document in working through the Davis Committee. The other interesting thing was the voluntary disclosure that we seem to be heading for another amnesty of sorts. The current voluntary disclosure not being very enticing, talk of a bill coming through and to bring those funds back into the pool for taxation, obviously lined up with the general disclosure and reporting that is now prevalent in the world. I think that many individuals should avail themselves of that opportunity if they have not availed themselves in earlier periods.
That was Johan Jacobs, Director of Trusts and Estates at Cliffdekker Hofmeyr, with the wealth tax highlights from today's budget in this week's Wealth Feature, brought to you by Old Mutual Wealth.